Francis. He needs a touch from the Lord and he has cancer. And he is able to do all things. And this morning, together in unity, with one voice, we're going to pray for them. And we're going to pray for our family homes, for our sick family friends, for our family, for our friends, for someone that you know that is not feeling well this morning. We pray. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. For the ones who have been, we mentioned their names this morning, you know them, oh Lord. We ask you, Lord, that your mighty hand will be upon them right now in Jesus' name. Father, we rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. We rebuke any sicknesses. The scripture says all diseases, oh God. Father, we pray right now for their life, that your warmth of the Holy Spirit would descend upon their life and touch them in Jesus' name. Father, as we prepare our hearts for your word this morning, we ask you, Lord, that our hearts would be attentive to you, attentive to your word. And when we hear from your word, oh God, let it not be man, the words of man, Lord. Remove my carnal, Lord, but let your spirit speak this morning. Let your word speak to our hearts. We are ready to receive from you, Lord. In your precious name we ask these things. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's nice to see you all here at New Hope Christian Assembly. If it's your first time you're here, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. I pray that you will feel the warmth of God and the warmth of the Spirit of God in His presence and also the family of God. So it's nice to see you all here this morning for the first time and also online. Greet you all in the name of the Lord. I just pray that you would just be encouraged through God's Word this morning. So last week we did speak about... did a series on the church, a three-part series on the church. And then when I was preaching last week, something came across my heart, and it just came out saying that I want to speak about the promises of God today. I don't know how long will this be. It can be for one day. It can be for two weeks or 3 weeks series. I don't know, but I'm just going to depend on God and the Holy Spirit where He wants me to share, what He wants me to share to the church. But before we do so, I do have one announcement to share with you. Next week, it is the communion service. As we have also heard through the preaching, is that communion service is extremely important to remember Christ's death upon the cross for us. So I do encourage you to come on out next week and just take that Sunday and you prepare your hearts when you come in and remember what Christ has done for you. This is the only time I give you permission to use your phone to text a friend, to put on tweet or Facebook and invite them and tell them that you're in the house of God today. Amen. Encourage them that you are missing out something great, not from a man, but from God. You're missing out from God. So encourage every one of you, they got your phones, and tweet someone and just tell them, I encourage you to come to church next week and just step in on the church and be encouraged by the presence of God in the house of God. Also, next week when we have communion service, we do have a speaker that's coming out. His name is Pastor Thomas Spiridilyotsin. He's from BC, Vancouver. He is director and Next Level International in the mission fields. So I do encourage you to come on out even to listen to what God has in store for us for next weekend. He does have a funny name, Spiridilyotsi. It is a pretty long name, but he is my cousin, and he is a director from NLI. So I'm encouraged even to see that he's coming on out. He has other things to do, and he just wants to share from God's word, and to hear his heart, how the mission field, what he does in the missions, and he will also speak on the word of God. So even last week, we did speak about to come here in the service to be prepared. You know, I've God has just worked in my life this last week, even more than ever. And I know, and the enemy was attacking to me in every corner, from the back to the front to the sides. And he was trying to bring confusion. He was trying to put fear in my life, because I know, and I know that God will do something great today. He has already started in the hearts of our people this morning, and God will do something even greater. But the enemy is not excited. The enemy is upset with us. He is so angry with us. So he will try to block your ears, to block your heart. But in Jesus' name, let there be no distraction. Let there be no confusion. But Lord, we're depending on your Holy Spirit this morning. And I know through the power of God, there will be a healing. I know through the power of God, there will be some transformation. I know through the power of God, we will see our household saved. Because we're standing on the promises of God. And I want to share with you this morning about the promises of God. It is a simple message, but we need to be reminded of what we're holding to. We're holding on to the promises of God. This is our promise of God, and God will help us through it. And I know that Satan is upset when we hold the word of God to our heart. And I pray in the name of Jesus this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus this morning that we will stand on the promises of God. I know God will do something this morning, and I am just starting here. And I remember that is my prayer this morning. It is not my carnal, but I pray that the Spirit of God will just move among us this morning. Have you ever made a promise to someone, or someone ever made a promise to you, and it's been broken? How did you feel? But you and I serve a God who is faithful to his promises. When he says a promise, it will come to completion. That's the promises of God, and we are holding it into our hands. We're holding it into our hearts. And the enemy will do anything in his power to make us forget about the promises of God. All scripture, the Bible tells us, it is inspired by God. Whatever is written in here, if it's written a promise for you and I, that promise is for us. And the only thing we must do is to claim it in the name of Jesus. And when we claim it, it will come true. It will come to completion. I am tired of hearing people say, God, will God really do that? Is that possible? God could do all things. And I pray through this morning, you will see through something extremely important. And getting ahead and ahead. The Bible tells us, for no man, 2 Corinthians 1, 20. Let's go to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20. We know this verse very well. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us, through the glory of God. The word promise or promises carries the idea of declaration, assuring that one will do or he will said that will do it. And all of God's promises are sure because God cannot lie. He is not a liar. So if God broke his word to us, all creation will be self-destruct because he held it together by the power of the word. So Paul here was saying that all promises of God are true and trustworthy. He doesn't say one thing and mean another. And in this context, Paul was saying these things because he had told the Corinthians that he was coming back to visit them, but he didn't come yet. He didn't want them to think that he wasn't a man of his word. So if in his word carnal, things could be questioned, then the message he had preached to them could be questioned. He was saying his word was good as the gospel he had preached. So if you say something to someone, you must act on it. That is a promise. If God promises something, it will come to completion. Because God is not a liar. God institute. God has placed his promises into the word of God for you and I. For you and I to walk strong. To you and I to continue. To you and I to search for the answer. And that is through the word of God and through his promises this morning. And I'm going to make you understand something extremely important this morning. Maybe you do know this. Is it God's problem? Is it the problem of God that we don't understand his promises? Or is it our problem that we truly don't understand the promises of God? You know how it starts? Watch what the scripture tells us. 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. We'll see through this through 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. If we get it up there, or else I'll read it. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours, abundance through the knowledge of God and our Jesus our Lord. Confirming one's calling and election. Verse 3. 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. And this verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaping the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Look at that verse 4 for a moment. If you look it up for a moment, you'll see, look, these has given us his great and precious promises. You and I, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now you have become a child of God, adopted into the family of God. And he has given us the promises. He has given us these promises to us, so we can defeat this world, this evil world that attacks. Now, I'm not saying people are evil, but the darkness of this world, the sin, we can defeat it. By the great promises. He has given us the promise the day we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, this is what I want to tell you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you come to church because of a religious act or because you like to do a traditional thing, you don't have those promises. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, these promises belong to you and I this morning. So the first thing that I want to share with you this morning. So I want to go through different kinds of promises. Just four this morning, briefly. There are over 3,000 promises in the Scripture. Some scholars said over 3,000, you know, promises in the Scripture. We're only going to go through four this morning. And I know through four of these promises that God has given us through the Scriptures, things are going to happen in our lives. And the first one that I want to look at this morning is his continuous presence in our lives. What an amazing thing. The promise of God is with us wherever we go. That's so simple to understand. It's not just someone that comes with us to a certain point and walks away from our life. But his promise is he is going to be with you wherever you go. It's ups or downs, in the valleys or not in the valleys, in fire or not in fire. Wherever you may be going today, his presence is there with you. And that is a promise that he has given to us. And we must understand that. It's not the presence of a human being, but it's the presence of God Almighty. It is the presence of him, of the one who has given us life today. He is the one that walks beside us every time. Everywhere we go, he is with us. If we're in the hospital bed, he is there. If we're in a prison, he is there. If we're out at home, he is there. His presence is continuous being with us. Isn't that amazing to know that you and I have the presence of God? And I don't believe in that lie, and you don't believe in that lie. And times you might feel you want to throw the towel out and say, quit. I don't sense the presence of God. But the power and the word of God tells us that his presence is with us wherever you guys go. Don't you ever believe in that lie of the enemy. You know the story. And we just spoke about it last week in Joshua 6. You remember that? The trumpet? The trumpet call, and then we shout of praise, and the walls crumble. The presence of the Lord was there. Though there was darkness, though there were struggles, though there was opposition, but the presence of God was with Joshua. If God says he will guide, that means he will. If God says I will restore, he will restore. If God says I will transform, he will transform. If God says I will provide, he will provide. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. And we must go back to the scriptures and stand and claim on the promises of God. We are not Christians to be defeated. We are victorious Christians. Christ wants us to be victorious. He wants us to walk victorious, not defeated. So you and I know today through one of the promises that his presence is with us wherever you and I go today. And three things that he had told Joshua, if you read it in chapter 6 when you have time. He told Joshua, God told Joshua that he would give him the land. To be strong and meditate on God's word. And three things God is telling you, Hope Christian Assembly. He's not going to give us land, but he's going to add souls to the kingdom of God. He's going to add souls to the kingdom of God. And it's much more important a soul than land. God told Joshua to be strong, and God is telling New Hope to forge ahead. Don't give up and don't quit. God told Joshua to meditate on God's word day and night. God is telling New Hope, be faithful to the word. Don't you turn to the left or right, but be faithful to the word and meditate it day and night. New Hope, the beauty of God's presence is the following. If you go through extremely down, like I said before, in prison or not, a hospital or not, his presence is there with us. God's faithfulness means that everything he says, he does in certain. He is 100% reliable, 100% trustworthy, 100% on time. You might not think he's on time, but he's on time. He does not fail. He does not forget. And one of his attributes is he does not change. He's never changed. He will never leave you or forsake you. Wow, what a promise. You can be in that hospital bed and you can sense the presence of God right there with you. That is a promise. Let me go to the next one because I'm getting a little bit excited. The second point. The second promise that we're going to look at. God's promise is that he will give power to the weak. You know how many times we see defeated Christians? And they have no weak. They're weak. They have no strength. They're down. They're discouraged. They're low. And they're low. And they're low. And they just have a hard time to get back up. Not because of their physical need. But whatever happened in their heart, they're just weak. And they want to just take the towel and just say, I am tired of this. I am fed up of this. I can't do no more. I have no more strength to continue walking. I am just tired. I am just weak. And I'm just lying down like this. But God said he will give you power to the weak. Now watch this. We're going to go through the scriptures because it's not my word. It's God's word we're going to look at. Amen? See, the power that we're talking about is not does not come from a Ferrari, an engine of Ferrari, or a vacuum cleaner. No, it does not come from there. A power that comes from God on high. And when that power just comes down upon your life, you are strong again. And you can continue to walk in the things of the Lord. And that is a promise that God has given to us. Once you're weak, just call out and say, Lord, send your power on my life today. Connect yourself back to that promise. Get in the positive and the negative and just put yourself there and say, Lord, I need that power. And shock yourself and you get yourself strength again. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Don't you know? Have you not heard the Lord is everlasting God and the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. Here it is. This is a promise. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. He gives us power. He increases the power of the weak. You know, that's a promise that God has given to us. And I can go on and speak. Even as the days you get older and older and older and older, God has even a promise for you as you're getting older. God has covered every angle for a person to walk with Him. He has given us so many promises so that we can just stand on that promise. And be not a defeated Christian, but be a victorious Christian. And in Isaiah 40, if you look at it, but then it goes, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, how do we hope in the Lord? We must wait. And many times we don't like to wait. But we must wait upon the Lord. And when we wait upon the Lord, our soul, our inner will be strengthened. It will be strengthened because God is working in our lives. And we must take the time. Those who wait, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And you and I must go to the Word when we're down. When you and I are down, we must go to our knees and lead us back to our knees. And that's when you get connected again and believe in that promise and stand in that promise. And He will send the power upon your life and you're strengthened again. And He gives us that inner strength in our lives. And when you have that inner strength, you will have the outward strength, and you can fly. You can fly because God is controlling your life today. Lord, help us not to be defeated, but help us to stand on the promises of God and go back to the promises and go back to the scriptures. And you claim it. And when you read it, you say, Lord, I am not strong today, but I believe in the name of Jesus that you will send your power in my life this morning. He gives us assurance and He will take care of us. He gives us peace. What you're looking for. He gives us tranquility. He gives us the motivation not to quit. You and I need that inner strength. You and I need that inner strength at times. I am just human as you. And there's times I am weak. But Lord, whenever we're down, whenever we're weak, slap me and wake me up and make me turn back to the Word of God. Make me turn back because that promise is there for me also. Let's not give up. The third thing, another promise that we're going to look at, is God promises that salvation is for you and your household. Now, some people might tell me that wasn't for our promise for us. That was an Acts. It was only done for that time there in Acts when Paul and Silas were in that prison. I believe that promise is also for us. You and your household shall be saved. And I will explain it to you through the scriptures this morning. Now, when it says you and your household shall be saved, the first and most important thing is when you and I accepted Christ as your personal Savior, That's the most important thing. You're saved now. Now, when it says you and your household, it doesn't mean right away you're saved, you accept Christ, your household is saved. What you have is extremely important. You have the Word of God in your life now. Now you have Jesus in your life. Now you have the richness, the wealth from the promises of God. That is the wealth, is right here. This is, you know, you might say, I am poor. No, no, you're not poor, you're rich because you have the promises of God. Amen. That goes much more than finances. That goes much more than homes and cars and lands and mountains that you own. The wealth comes from the promises of God. So once you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you claim that promise. In Acts 16, we know that very well, that story, Paul and Silas. And I'm going to show you something extremely important, even in the Old Testament. And you know the story about Minna when Paul and Silas were praying, and all of a sudden, the person said, what should I do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then 31 says, so they believed on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. You and your household. But some might say, but my family are not saved today. Stand on that promise. That you and your household shall be saved. It doesn't come automatically. But you have the richness. You have the wealth that you can claim it in Jesus' name. And when you call, now you have this, and you by your examples, by your walking with Christ, by the Word of God, now you're preaching the gospel to some individual, to your family member, by your example, the way you act, the way you conduct yourself, and through the Scriptures, you will see you and your household shall be saved. Amen. Yes, it is a step of faith that they have to take. But they have something. It's from us to share the Word of God. You and your household shall be saved. But watch this, even in Genesis. Do you know the story of Noah? Noah built an ark without seeing the waters. Am I right? Noah built an ark. For years and years, he's building an ark. People were condemning. There was this world of corruption. And Noah builds this ark. He continued seeking the face of God. He continued trusting in God. Watch this, because it's extremely important. If you must have read this a lot of times, but it must have just went across your mind. But you look at this. When Noah's building this ark, and God said, because of your righteousness, you and your household will be in the ark. You and your household will be in the ark. And who has saved him and his household? Isn't that amazing? It started in Genesis. Because of the righteousness of that person. You and I have a big part to do. If you want your family to be saved, you must also walk right. So it's not us to really think, how is God going to do it? I really don't care how God's going to do it. We do our part, as the sister was saying, and the rest is up to Him. He will take care of the rest. And if He has to use an 8-year-old to preach the gospel to your son or daughter, let it be. Let it be. I'll share you a story. It was a pastor and preaching the gospel week after week, servant of the Lord in that capacity. And the daughter did not want to know, did not want to know anything about God. He didn't want to know anything about the Scriptures. I don't know if I told you this, but if I did, forgive me. Listen to it again. Repeating is good at times. If I repeat too much, then say I'm losing my mind or something. So he gets upset, the son, and says, I'm leaving. There's rules and regulation of this home. I don't want to know anything about this, that. I'm going to walk away. So this man, this young boy, while he's leaving, this father says, before you leave, please accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You know the truth. You have heard the truth. Please accept. And he says, no. So he takes off his luggage. He takes off. And for years, he has not spoken to his father. For years, he has not even had contact with his family members. The devastating of a father. But he stood strong on the promises of God. Years later, this boy is in a bus. And a young girl goes to him, maybe 7, 8 years old, goes inside and sits beside this man, this young boy that left from his father, and gives him a tract about salvation, about knowing if you really know Christ. And in that bus, he wept. And that day, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Watch this. It doesn't matter how he comes to know Jesus Christ and through who. But we must stand on the promises of God and believe that you and your household shall be saved. So this person writes back, this young man, he writes a letter to the father, I'll be coming home. I'll be coming home, Father. And this day, at this time, please welcome me home. And he says, if you on the letter, says, if you welcome me home, put a ribbon on the tree, a white ribbon telling me that you accepted me home. So the day has come, the train has gone, and he's going, and he's getting closer to the day and the time of this father's house, and he went and he sees, and there was no ribbon on that tree. Devastating young boy was saying, what's happening? My father did not accept me back home. But he just walks across, and he goes around. He was so curious, this boy, and he goes back to the front of the house, and he sees a tree full of white ribbons and a white, white banner saying, welcome home, son. But he believed in the promises, the father. He stood firm in the promises. Some of us might even have a son or a daughter, a spouse or not, or uncle or aunt who does not know Christ. And you say, how's God going to do that? You just stand in the promises of God. And I tell you, in the name of Jesus, through the scriptures, someone's in your family will come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And I claim it in the name of Jesus. If you look around and you examine your life and you examine your household, 99.9% are someone in our family who does not know Christ. Am I right? Am I the only one here? Let me see your hands. Who has someone in their family that does know Christ? In the name of Jesus, granted this morning, that one soul will come to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. That is a promise of God. It's not a promise of man. You and your household shall be saved. And you stand and you don't stop and you believe. The enemy will come and say, it's not true. He's not going to do it. It's not possible. He's in the worst sin you can ever imagine. He is in the drugs. He is in the gangs. How's God going to save him? I don't care how God you're going to save it, but Lord, you're going to do it because I am standing on the promises of God. And I know that one day, Lord, I will see my brother coming to the altar and accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior because I am standing on the promise of God. And I'm not turning to the left, I'm not turning to the right, I'm not turning back, but I'm going to look ahead and trust in the promises of God. And say, Lord, and that will be the day when you and I will rejoice because you are going to see your daughter or your son or your wife or your husband singing to the Lord and serving the Lord as their personal Savior. That is a promise of God. You must understand that is a promise of God. And you and I have this wealth in our hands. And the only thing that you and I must do is to claim it in the name of Jesus. Claim it in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm standing on your promise. And today, when we pray, we're going to stand and believe that something is going to happen. Amen. Praise God. There's another promise that God has given us, and now we'll share that later on, little brother, just to step out in that comfort zone. But there's another one. This one is a very touchy little topic or little point that I want to share, because at times people around the world doesn't believe in this promise. But I believe in this promise. Because I'm going to show you through the scriptures. He heals in times of sickness. And people might say, but I prayed and God did not heal me. Watch this. What is, look, Psalm 103 verse 1 and 3. Watch, look at this. Psalm 103 verse 1 and 3. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Watch this. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Isn't that a promise of God? Now, we have a cold, a fever, a headache. We run straight to our medication. We do. We go straight to the doctor. I'm not against doctors, because I believe God has appointed doctors and called doctors. But what if we just, before going to that doctor, let's go to Jehovah Rapha and go to the God who have never changed? If God is the same in the past, if God has healed in the Old Testament, God has healed in the New Testament, God is going to heal tomorrow. Because why? Because one of the attributes of God, He does not change. If God is the same yesterday, God is the same today, and God is the same tomorrow. He has never changed, because that's one of His attributes. Now, if He has changed, we call Him a liar. But He has not changed. So if God has done it in the past, God would do it today. In the name of Jesus, is when we lay our hands upon someone's life, is not because of man, because it is a God that we serve, is a God who does not change. And that God will just anoint the person and will just heal and transform that person's life in the name of Jesus. And I believe in that this morning. There are sick people. The Bible says all diseases. There's no limitation in God. So you might say, but I prayed and it didn't happen. Don't quit. Stand on that promise. Stand on that promise. It's there for us. Now you say, yeah, but we have to die. Yeah, we do have to die. We have to die sooner or later. Someone has to go with the Lord. And we can die with any sickness. But as now we are still alive, we can stand on the promise of God and believe in the promise of God and ask God to just do the mighty miracle upon our life. And believe in that. You must have seen healings. I've seen healings. And that increases our faith. And that helps us. But you have to understand one thing. If one of the God's attributes, He does not change, the Bible tells us, why should we stop? He does not change. He was always the same, and He will always be the same. Praise the Lord, my soul, and almost being praise of His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget all His benefits. He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Why is it when we pray for salvation in someone's life, Christ has healed all the sins and washed away all the sins? It happens automatically, no? Because Christ is powerful and He saved all sins. But why can't we apply the same thing about He heals all diseases? All diseases. Now you might, you know, this morning I'm seeing that some of you are just dazed out here. But God is going to do something great this morning. I don't know what is going on with you. I'm the only one in this place this morning. God's going to do something great this morning, because I believe by the power of God, the moment we put the oil of faith, the oil, and we anoint with oil, I know that God will do something great. I know that God's going to save. I know God's going to heal. I know something is going to happen this morning, because I am standing on the promises of God. I'm not standing on the promise of man, but I'm standing on His promises. And you and I must believe it. It's when you go, and when you go to Jesus, and you say, oh, Lord, I am standing on this promise, oh God. And I'm not going to turn left or right, but I'm going to look ahead and believe in your name and believe in your promise, oh Lord. So there's four things that we looked at this morning. You know that some of you might feel that the presence of God is not with you. Let me encourage you. The presence of God is with you. Some of you might say, how is God going to save my family? It doesn't matter how God's going to save you, because the promise of God says you and your household shall be saved, and you claim it in the name of Jesus. Now, the third thing that we looked at is what? We looked at one, two, three. What was the third one? Oh, what's going on here this morning? Salvation was the third one. What was the second one? He gives power to the weak. And the fourth one, he heals in times of sickness. But he wants us even to remember, he wants us to remind us about the promises, about his promises. And he goes back, for no matter how many promises God has made, yes, in Christ and through him we are speak the amen to the glory of God. It's a confirmation from God that when he does something, he will do it and he will bring it to completion. So this morning, as we're going to go to the word, we're going to go to a conclusion, and we're going to just believe in God. Believe in his promises. I want you to be ready for it. I want you to prepare your hearts. Prepare your minds. Prepare yourself through the scriptures and stand on the promise of God. Don't you believe the lie of the enemy. Don't you ever fall for that lie. That promise is for you and I this morning. He wants us to live victorious in Jesus' name. And that promise is there for you and I. The wealth, the richness is there. What the only thing is you and I must do is you must claim and say, Lord, I am standing on your promise this morning. Grant our prayers this morning. Lord, you have said it. It's not a man, but Lord, you have inspired this to men. You have inspired your word to them, and you written down in the word of God for us, O Lord, to make us walk victorious, to go against these evil things of this world. Don't you fall, and don't you fall on the things of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, but stand firm on the promises of God this morning. And this morning I want to call out three things. I want to be sensitive to the voice of God and to the Spirit of God this morning. I don't want to confuse anybody. I'm not here to confuse anybody. And if I have done confusion, if I had some confusion, I pray against it and allow God to give clarity to you in Jesus' name. Just stand for a moment as we conclude. Every eye closed, every head bowed, and you start praying, and you start trusting and believing in those promises. Believe on those promises that we have just heard. We just four of them of over 3,000. We just four of them this morning, and you know which one of the four that you want to claim it in Jesus' name. You know that the first one, if there's anyone that is facing their first point this morning, now, I'm not here to manipulate anybody. I'm here just to be sensitive to the voice of God and to be trying to obey the voice of God and try to listen to him. The first point I want to share with you, I want to divide this into four sections. The first one here on this far left on my side and right on your side. You come to the front if you said, I don't sense the presence of God in my life and I just want to know that God's with me. I want you to take the step of faith and come out front and stand on that promise and say, I know, Lord, that your presence is with me. Right now, just come up front. And the second one here is right here, and it's if you're weak and you say you're down and you need encouragement, I ask you to seek God, and He will just give you that power that is in your life. And in the third one, if you're praying for salvation in your household, I ask you to come out front and believe in that promise that you and your household shall be saved, and you will see it in Jesus' name. This side right here. And in the far end here, I want to pray for the ones who are feeling sick, body, ache, mind, whatever it is, spiritually, and need a touch from God. And I ask you to come from the far right of mine and the far left of yours. Come out front and believe in the promises of God. So for the presence of God on this side, for the power right here in the second, the third, for the household, there's many that want to pray for the household, and for the sickness on the far left, far right, and far left for your side. I encourage you right now to come forward. And I need people to pray. 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 I need people to raise their voices to the Lord. I need people to call upon God and believe in the promise of God this morning. And you will see God will move in a mighty, precious way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Rababashi.
Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up.
Power, power in Jesus' name. Power in Jesus' name.
They shall walk
so power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Power in Jesus' name. Oh, salvation right now in the name of Jesus. You and your household shall be saved. Believe in that promise. Claim it in Jesus' name.
Upon the Lord.
Claim it in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit move.
Oh, they shall mount up. On wings, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not
faint. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, believe that salvation, God's promises right there, and something is gonna happen this week. Something is gonna happen this week. There'll be a salvation. There'll be a transformation by the power of God. Healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Anoint you. Anoint you. Anoint you. In Jesus' name. By the power of God. By the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
They shall walk and not faint. That wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up on wings as eagles.
Grant it.
Oh, yes, it is.
Grant it, Lord. They heal. Remove that pain from our backs, I pray. In Jesus' name, to God be the glory, O Lord. To God be the glory, O Lord. To God be the glory, O Lord. Respond, O Lord. In Jesus' name, where's the pain?
Oh, yes.
I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke that pain in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for your anointing will be a pattern. Your power hand, your healing hand, restore.
And not faint.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Grant
it. Oh, they wait upon the Lord. of their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord, oh, yes, shall renew. Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, can we hear a shout of praise this morning?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh, thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, thank
call upon the name of Jesus as before we go home this morning.
Thank
call
Lord.
Upon the name of Jesus this morning. And believe in that promise. If you have brought that promise to the Lord and you believe it and stand on it, and you will see that God will respond, that God will do, because God is a God who has never changed and will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name, grant our prayers this morning, O Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this morning. The Lord, no, we might not see the results right now, but Lord, you are working in the lives because we're standing on those promises of God. But Lord, our testimony is that we will see results in Jesus' name because we believe it, oh Lord. And we're standing on your word this morning. We're standing on the promises of God. Thank you for this wealth that you've given to us, oh Lord, through the scriptures, through your word, oh Lord. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for the ones who are weak, increase their strength, power, in Jesus' name. For the ones, oh Lord, who are praying for salvation in their household, Lord, we're standing on that promise. You and your household shall be saved. And Lord, we know that, Lord, we will see and hear a testimony that a son, a daughter, an uncle, an aunt will be coming to know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. And Lord, for the healing aspect, we thank you, Lord, that you already worked in the lives and the bodies of others, oh God. And I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, continue to work, heal in Jesus' name. We will not turn to the left or the right, but we're going to forge ahead and stand on the promises of God. In Jesus' name we ask these things. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. But before you leave, we got to sing this hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. You know I'm an old-time Pentecostal preacher. I like hymns. Once in a while, I like to sing them. So let's sing it together, Standing on the Promises of God. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King of through eternal ages, let us praise His reign. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing.
Please.